Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You are listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio show. We are coming to you live from the 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane. You might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee. And in this episode, we're all here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all here, yay.
That's Candy.
Hi.
There's Candy Payne. Ray is on the machine.
Hey.
There he is. Jody McGregor.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm really good.
I'm good too, Lee.
Excellent. I didn't ask you, but I will ask you, what's happening on this show?
We have a couple of game reviews. First up, Rocket League. It's soccer with cars.
You've sold it to me.
Succinct.
Yep. And Lee, you have been playing Card Hunter.
Yes. I have. It is a game about being in a dungeon, but all of your things are cards. It's good.
We'll also be hearing music hand-selected by our maestro, Jody McGregor.
At the start of the show, we heard 8-Bit Beastie with No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah, but let's get this episode started with the week in gaming news headlines with Ms. Candy Payne.
Thank you. PC peripheral company Razer has partially acquired Ouya in a deal that will see staff and software assets repurposed for their Forge TV set-top box and upcoming Razer micro console. Rights to the Ouya hardware were not included.
Wait. Say it right.
Ouya!
You
know what? Side note, I have been waiting months to say that again, and then I noticed it's in this article like 8 times, so...
Do it every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Pace yourself.
Yeah. Rights to the Ouya hardware were not included in the agreement. Existing Ouya owners will be provided with incentives to migrate to the recently released Forge TV system, including a significant discount on the hardware. Razer will also honour Ouya's existing obligations to indie developers, which includes a fund of $600,000 to be paid out as incentives to develop exclusive content for the console. Changes to the agreement remove the exclusivity clause, but introduces a requirement to provide free games to the Razer Cortex store, matching the amount of funding received. The Ouya, despite launching in 2013 on the back of one of the most successful crowdfunding campaigns of all time, did not perform well at retail, leading to disappointing game sales. The acquisition means that support for the Ouya hardware has been officially discontinued.
That is a sad end to that story, despite how fun it is to say Ouya.
Everybody loves saying that word.
Yeah,
you think I feel like I might have detracted from the article somewhat.
maybe not right for the tone, but
sorry.
Alas.
So I think it's a good move on Razer's part to cover that huge deficit that Ouya got themselves into, the $600,000 fund.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you, Razer?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not a huge fan of Razer products. I do like their mice. I find their stuff a bit garish.
Yeah.
But this is turning me around, you know.
Okay.
On like their company.
Yeah, I like the fact that they are providing something in this case, but I do think that for a lot of developers, having to ensure that their product now works on a new weirdo console as well is probably going to be an amount of work that might not be equal to the money that they're getting in, but it is a nice gesture, and I hope it's not too much of a hassle for those who are still requiring payment.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Razer weren't obligated to take on that debt.
Yeah.
So for indie developers who, you know, are in that position, I mean, it's good news, right?
Yes.
Like, because sometimes you just need money now. You know, just whatever, we'll promise the world, but
sometimes
we just need that money.
I just always need money
yeah,
now.
Yeah, please send money
yeah.
now.
Wrestling fans who pre-order WWE 2K16 will be able to play as the Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger has granted approval for his likeness to be used in the game and also appears in a trailer replicating the opening sequence to Terminator 2, humorously replacing the bar patrons with current WWE stars.
That sounds like it might be a little bit OP, is the word the kids are using.
Yeah, yeah.
To indicate overpowered, I believe.
Why is the Terminator wrestling? Why couldn't they just get another wrestler man?
Because the Terminator.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Sorry.
I'd rather play as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, I mean, you can imagine that it's him.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't
want
all the extra red eyes
you
and robotic
play
stuff.
As actor and former Californian governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's probably a bit weak now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's okay. More interesting.
I would like to play Arnold Schwarzenegger from Twins, specifically that one. He seems nice.
Yeah, a little bit dopey.
A little bit, but, yeah. You know, that's because he's not from around here.
I'd like to play Arnold Schwarzenegger from Pumping Iron because he seems so mean.
Oh, God, yeah, that would be a great Arnold great Schwarzenegger heel. To play as. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Have them both.
Alternate skins.
Yeah.
He did two movies with Danny DeVito, didn't he?
Yes.
Maybe more. The other one, he was pregnant. No,
yeah.
Wait, was that? Yeah.
Yes.
Twins.
The sequel to Twins is, what is it, Ray?
No.
Well, not sequel, but the spiritual successor.
I have no idea. I've lost this like years
this
ago.
This is a game show. We
yeah,
have
back
to...
In, you know what? In other WWE 2K16 related news...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Sad face. Hulk Hogan has been completely removed from the game following the leak of a sex tape showing the six-time heavyweight champion delivering a racist tirade. Hogan has also been removed from the WWE Hall of Fame and the company will no longer carry his merchandise. He will no longer be appearing in the Australian WWE live event scheduled for mid-August.
Oh.
Oh, Hogan.
Why you got to be a massive, massive racist, Hulk Hogan?
Yeah. I don't know what's worse with what he's done there. The tape or the racist tirade?
The racist tirade,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
that
that's...
One.
Yeah, but for Hulk Hogan, it's just ruining images everywhere. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something, brother.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
That, you don't want to see that sex tape. Yeah.
I'll take your word for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on Googling it. Thanks.
But when WWE wants to wash their hands of you, they do it completely. It doesn't matter that he is probably the most iconic wrestler of all time.
Not
know?
Anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you're gone from the website. You're gone from the Hall of Fame. You're out of the games. They'll probably take him out of all of the pay-per-views that are in the WWE Network library. You know, they're just going to totally scrub him clean like he never existed.
If you've got the game on the Nintendo Entertainment System, they will turn up to your house and smash the console with a hammer. They'll do it.
Yeah. Although Hulk should probably update his rules.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Hulk's rules, take your vitamins. Number four, no racism. Sorry,
four,
that was
I feel
a
like
bit of a low blow.
This is in bad taste.
Yeah.
And finally, Bethesda has said that they are unable to produce any further Pip-Boy replicas that will come with a collector's edition of Fallout 4. The Pip-Boy collector's edition has been a surprising success, with every edition of the game pre-ordered already. Bethesda's marketing VP, Pete Hines, said, "We made a shitload of Pip-Boys. Sorry, this is as much as we can make." Fallout 4 is due on November 10.
Hey, who's got two thumbs and failed to pre-order one of them Pip-Boys? This guy right here. Yeah. None left in the country when I tried.
Yeah.
Nope.
So it was a Pip-Boy replica, and am I correct in assuming that you could put your smartphone?
Yeah.
Is that something I saw?
Yes.
You could put your smartphone in there, so it was like an actual Pip-Boy?
It was just like in the games. You had a cool computer from retro future on your arm, and you could use it to play stuff in the game, and now I can't do that. Now I've just got to, like, attach my phone to my arm with rubber bands or something.
Like some kind of pleb.
Exactly. It's rubbish.
Lee and Ray, you guys have been playing Rocket League, right, as well as me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I played a bit.
All right. How much have you played, Ray?
I've played a bunch of single player, a couple of seasons, and I've had a couple of multiplayer goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you played the most of it, you think, Lee?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm still a scrub.
I'm still a scrub. I'm still a rookie. That's what the game says to me every time I boot it up, just rubbing my face in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're all a bunch of rookies.
We're all a bunch of rookies.
Oh, that's a shame. Right.
Yeah, now this guy seems like he's got the skills, though. So, Ray, tell us about this game. Tell us about Rocket League. What's the dealio?
Well, imagine a game of soccer.
Yeah.
And
I'm,
replace
I'm doing that.
The human players.
Yeah.
With cars.
All right.
And replace the soccer ball with a larger... More
metal ball?
Yeah, more metal ball. Yeah. And you've
I
got
love
Rocket
how
League.
Descriptive we get. A larger, more metal ball. Great.
He gave me a lot to work with there.
It's slightly more metal than the...
Yeah.
The
non-metal one?
The non-metal soccer ball.
So it's soccer with cars, like jet-powered cars that can do flips and acrobatics with a giant metal ball that explodes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you score a goal... the ball explodes and everyone goes flying down the other end of the pitch, which is a great, like, satisfyingly dramatic thing to happen when you score. And also, if someone scores against you, just, like, rubbing your face in it. Like, now you're flipping end over end down the other end of the pitch because of how awesome they were.
If people go flying, are they injured?
No.
It doesn't affect the play.
It's not even necessary for the ball to explode, but it just happens to... as a cool thing.
Yeah. I love how you said that as though that answers it. Oh, no, it's a car. Yeah, but, like, demolition derbies.
Cars,
even if your car gets blown
injuries.
Up in Rocket League, it just respawns 2 seconds later.
Oh.
And it doesn't happen very often. Yeah.
Now, I think we've probably sold the game to most people just by saying soccer with rocket cars that can fly. But
and
Ray,
metal balls.
Yeah, yeah. Ray, tell me about your awesome car in the game.
My awesome car. Okay, it's got... antlers.
Good start.
Mm. Yep. Yep. On the front?
No, on the top.
Right, like a hat.
Yeah.
And Jesus. That is like the worst description ever. So as soon as you said antlers, I was picturing some like giant Cadillac or something, you know, like a beaten up old American car, antlers strapped to the front. Mm-hmm. No? More descriptive.
Oh, yeah, sorry. When I rocket boost... money comes out of the back instead of fire.
That's cool. That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, that's like my kind of my pimpin' thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can unlock new things for your car, including hats and flags and new tires and et cetera. So my car is like an A-team van, but with a great big pirate hat on top.
Love
And when I boost, grass flies out the back like a lawnmower.
Nice. Yeah.
That's weird, but love it.
Yeah,
do you get to choose what... flies out the back when you boost?
You unlock different things, like there are different coloured things and then later different effects.
Yeah, so my team all have cowboy hats and I'm a cool... I look a little bit like the Batmobile, I think, and I don't have anything cool that explodes out the back when I boost because I'm rubbish.
No.
But we're all cowboys, which I think is pretty good.
Tight theme, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have up to 4 cars... on your team, and that seems like a low number, but 4 cars racing around a soccer pitch ramming into a ball that's bigger than they are is extremely chaotic. Like, once you get over 3, it turns into a complete mess and is glorious.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that cars accelerate and then have a turning circle, so if you overshoot the giant metal ball, which happens all the time, you have this... there's a wonderful like period of spinning out as you attempt to chase back after the ball again. It's a really kinetic experience. It's just like pinballing around this enclosed arena.
On that, what does the like stadium space look like?
It's like a big glass dome where you can end up, if you go too fast, you'll be driving on the ceiling for a little bit until physics catches up.
Love it.
It's the best.
And outside of the dome, there are blurry... people screaming and cheering. So, like, if somebody gets rammed with a boost and they explode, the crowd goes nuts. Or if you're about to score, they're like, which is extremely atmospheric.
Mm. Can you do, like, tricks with the ball, you know? I mean, soccer's known for fancy footwork.
Yeah,
soccer players are.
Your car can, like, do a forward roll and headbutt the ball into the goal. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you jump, there's
you
like.
You wanted a bigger reaction from me. That's awesome.
Thank you. That's better.
Thing so that after you jump and your car just bounces up into the air out of nowhere, you can then pick a direction to spin in, which is how you do a flip forwards or even sideways. So if you're from a standing start, you can bounce your car vertically into the air and then send it spinning off to the right or left, which is a great way to like side slam the ball, you can do crazy stuff with.
You can barrel roll into the ball and score a goal. It's great.
And you can kick it at weird angles. I'm saying kick, you're a car.
Yeah.
But because of the way you can control the spins in midair, you can angle it so that you're actually aiming for the corner of the net, which... feels like weird advanced tactics because the first 2 or 3 games you play, it's just like ram it head on, full speed.
Yes.
It's the only way to play.
That's mostly how I play right now.
And then you see what other people are doing and you realize there's actually some pretty advanced tactics to how you move your car.
Yeah, it really is a game of geometry, isn't it? A bit like pool, where you have to select your angles and it's a very complex thing. We have to spin the ball in the right way. And the fact that you're a car means that you have to sort of plan ahead a little bit. For the opportunities, because you can't just run up to the ball and and kick it like you can in real soccer. You have to sort of come back from a couple of hundred meters and just when the ball's right in front of you, just get that right angle to make a shot or pass or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
Are they hard to control? You know, like, are you driving the car as such? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm one of the worst car drivers, not in real life, in games.
Don't tell me, I carpool with you regularly.
I know,
I'm concerned.
I'm a brilliant real life driver, right. But in games, like, it just always takes me a while to catch on, and I don't know, like, I feel like I need to slow down and drive safely to get around corners, which defeats the point, I know.
Yeah.
So how is it controlling a car in this?
It's hard to control, but in a fun, good way.
Okay.
Because you are a rocket car, so you lose control, but then you can regain it, and you snap back into being in control. So if you, the cars feel like they're always about to become too unwieldy, but they're also very, very responsive.
Thankfully, the cars stop very quickly. They can basically, like, stop on a dime, which makes, you know, moving around sporadically, like, pretty bearable.
It's good braking.
You can also reverse. You
as fast as you go forward.
Yeah, the acceleration when you reverse is quite generous as well. So you can sort of, you know, do fancy things where you're looking at the ball and going backwards.
That is fancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going backwards.
Yeah.
While looking at the ball.
When I first started playing, it was just chaos. I couldn't understand how someone would play this game. It took me a while before I understood the pace of the game.
Mm.
Before I settled in. The first few rounds, you'd probably find yourself driving around, becoming upset when people smash into you and wondering, you know, what to do. It definitely takes a few rounds before you can sort of ease into the game how it's supposed to be played.
Do you purposely run into other people, like in bumper cars?
Or like in soccer?
Yes.
Well, in soccer, you know, they're nicer.
No, they're not. Have you seen soccer?
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that they actually do hurt each other, it's a game with a history of pretending to hurt one another.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah. It's not like the full-on tackles and face in the dirt and unpleasantness of other, you know, football games
that's
and things.
True.
But
so, yes, you play the other players as much as you play the ball, or at least you should be. Because if you hit someone at full boost, then they explode.
Are there penalties
for
how you hit others? None.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So this is really your kind of thing.
Yeah, totally my kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't need to know anything about sports. I get to drive a car fast. I get to bump into other people and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And I get no penalties or injuries.
That's it.
Nice.
We just sold it to you at least, Candy.
Yeah.
We have been talking about Rocket League, which is available now for the PlayStation 4 and Windows. Now, it is a complimentary game. If you are a PS Plus subscriber, Lee?
That's right. So if at least until next Tuesday, you can get it for free and then have it forever as long as you have PS Plus. It's great for free. What a great game for free.
Yes, yeah, so we've been talking about Rocket League, how it's basically soccer with cars. Now, the main portion of the game is the multiplayer.
Absolutely. I've been playing it online a fair bit. There is apparently cross-play coming up, so you'll be able to play between PC and PlayStation 4, which will be great.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, because I've been being hammered by the jerks playing on PC for the most part.
So you'll do better against me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the matchmaking in this, actually. Like, I played it a couple of matches today, and in one of them, it was me. And you see on the end screen, you know, your rank, and I'm like a rookie level 7 or whatever, and everyone else was a semi-pro.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about the matchmaking.
Did you pick up any skills from observing them?
No, I find that I don't actually learn anything while I'm playing Rocket League. I've learned stuff by watching YouTube tutorials because there are people with insane skills on the internet. There's a guy named Cronovo who everyone should Google because he does things with his car that don't seem physically possible. And I've learned stuff from that. But I don't learn anything from losing Rocket League except frustration.
What's Cronovo playing on?
PlayStation 4.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So he's some sort of Rocket League witch then.
Yeah, he's just some kind of freak. Yeah. I think the same people who made this game made a game called like Superpowered Battle Cars or something beforehand, which is essentially the same thing. And he's been playing it since then and then through the beta period of this game. So he's got years and years of experience at this brand new game.
Mm, right.
I think he's not alone in that.
Mm.
So shall we sum up then? Rocket League is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And although I think the leagues, like you've been playing the leagues, right, against yeah. AI?
Yep.
The AI is pretty bad.
It is.
It's much more fun against real people.
I think it's like an exploit where at kickoff, if you charge, if you, you know, boost into the ball, you can score a goal.
Pretty much score, yeah.
Pretty much every time the players reset, you can score a goal. And I've been, like leaning on that.
Well, you need to because your teammates are so bad. I've seen them score against me from the other end of the pitch. Oh. They'll just walk it in the entire length and then score an own goal.
Yeah, own goals are everywhere. I've had like 3 own goals in one match. It's very infuriating.
Have you got the guy who has the like pinwheel hat? So you don't get him on your team. That guy's rubbish.
Yeah.
Can you pick friends? Like, do your own team? Friends, people you actually know to play with?
Yeah,
or is it just random? Oh, no, you can.
You can put your own little team together and then face roll all of the randos who don't have their friends in a super organized team.
Nice. Yeah, so we were saying before the song that eventually the three of us are playing on both PS4 and PC will be eventually be able to play together on the same team.
That's going to be it'll be a nice moment for us.
Friendship goals.
Yeah.
Nice.
I also see maybe an esports potential here as well. It seems to be a well-balanced game, and like you don't really accrue skills in the same way that you do in other sporting games. Like it's very fair and balanced. So, yeah, I can see this becoming like an esport.
Yeah, it's definitely robust enough to handle that kind of that style of play. I don't know whether it will be anything beyond a niche thing in that area, but it would be really cool to see that ongoing in the esports arena. Yeah.
Now, Ray, you have been playing a game called Card Hunter. Lee has been playing Card Hunter. Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. Lee, you've been playing Card Hunter.
I have been playing Card Hunter.
Ray, you haven't played any of it.
I've played one thing.
Yeah. All right. There you go then.
Yeah.
I've played a tiny bit of it as well, but only the single player. So, Lee, you are the most qualified to tell us what is Card Hunter.
Yeah, Card Hunter is it's a turn-based tactical game by Blue Manchu, who is mostly people from Irrational Games and Looking Glass Studios, and people who consulted with Magic the Gathering. So everyone who's there has produced a bunch of really good stuff, and they've come together to make this weird little thing that started out as a Flash game on web browsers and still is. It still is a browser-based game, but it has recently been released on Steam. It's free to play, and the basic conceit is that you are playing a role-playing game against a nerd who is this incredible, like stereotypical nerd DM, a dungeon master, and it's the tactical map, the grid on the table, and you've got the little cardboard figures that you're moving around on this grid, and you have a deck of cards for the moves that all of your party members have. So you have a warrior, a wizard, and a cleric versus his weirdo monsters, and it's recreating the experience of playing a tabletop game by introducing little tactile elements and by having the older brother of the dungeon master keeps coming down to be a snob because he's a way bigger and like an even nerdier dungeon master who's disparaging you for being a level one scrub. And then he has a ponytail and a goatee.
Yeah.
And at one point, pizza is delivered, and your friend, who's the dungeon master, has like a massive crush on her. And this just happens like over the course
of pizza.
On the pizza girl, and this happens over the course of you playing this tactical game, this campaign. So it's very cute in the things that it's embellishing this game with, and it's very charming. Everything has this sort of hand drawn, crafted look to it, but it would all fall apart if it weren't for the fact that the tactical game underneath it is really, really well designed, and all of the cards and all of the moves fit together really, really well. I've been talking enough. Jody, you say some things.
I do like how cute and cartoony it is and how all of the characters have like different versions of the figure. So my warrior now has this sci-fi thing, so it's like you just borrowed a miniature from a completely different genre or game, and suddenly she's got a lightsaber instead of an axe. And you can just keep playing with that as if nothing has changed. That's very true to what an actual game of D&D is like.
I particularly like the fact that when you choose what your appearance for your figures is going to be, you are just looking at a bunch of action figures in their blister pack, and you get to like pick them out of that, and then they replace the what are the cards called? The figure flats is what they are technically called on the turn-based tactical tabletop thing.
I do find, though, that having every single thing you do be measured by a card, and you get, like, each character you have gets, I think, 5 cards per turn. Mm. And if you and the Dungeon Master both pass, you don't want to play any cards in a row. Only then do you get to refill your hands of cards. Sometimes I will get too many movement cards or too many attack cards and then have a really annoying turn where I basically can't do anything.
Yes.
And that seems to happen a lot. You can mitigate that slightly by choosing like which weapons your characters have, because that determines which cards go into your deck. But there's still an element of randomness to it, where every turn you're getting up to 5 cards for each character. And if those 5 cards happen to be all of the same kind, then you just have a really boring turn.
Yeah, I think it is a bit slow in that way. It takes a while before you get past all of the tutorial stuff and you have a full access to all of the gear. And once you have all the gear slots filled out, you have a lot more balance in your deck. But that does mean that early games you will find yourself with, you know, being on one end of the map and the Dungeon Master is on the other with his creatures, and you have no walk cards at all this turn, just weak hits. And it's like, that sucks. But I guess that's also part of having, you know, playing a physical, like, card tactics game against someone. Like, sometimes you just have a handful of rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true with any trading card game, isn't it? Especially Magic the Gathering, which is a clear inspiration of Card Hunter. You know, sometimes, you just have it's like the luck of the draw, whatever's in your hand. And it's up to the skill of the player to make the best of what you've got.
Yeah. I think it does a very good job of, like, you find yourself with that one card you suddenly need to turn things around as well, as often as you will find yourself having 3 or 4 of the walk 2 paces card, which is rubbish. Hate that card.
Yeah, we call it top decking when you draw the card you need.
La-di-da. Yeah. Fancy names for everything.
So Card Hunter is a free-to-play game which is available on Steam for the PC.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the monetization elements, Lee?
Yeah, so you can pay money to access additional campaigns. You can pay money to get resources which you can spend on adding new equipment and adding new figurines to your deck. Basically, the kind of customization that would ordinarily take you a little while to accrue through play, all of that stuff can be acquired quickly. It doesn't seem like it imbalances things too much, though, because of just the pace of the game. Even if you can spend $20 to get cool things, you can't use it until you've played enough to get up to that level. And you will be getting gear and equipment all the way along anyway. So I'm not sure who's paying for these things, but someone must be, and I'm glad that they are, because they're essentially covering my play, and I'm enjoying it playing at a pace for free.
With these kinds of games, I find that I'll sometimes just make purchases because I appreciate the developer's work.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm spending a couple of hours a day on a game or more, then I don't mind throwing a few dollars here and there, because I'd pay $60 for a game anyway that I'll probably spend 15 hours on and put it back in the pile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very generous, and it's nice that you're rewarding them for that. What I also like about it is that the play time is generally pretty short. You can just pop in and play a 10-minute little tactics map and get something out of it and then come back later on. That I appreciate immensely because of my busy life as a young go-getter. So anything that I can just drop in and out of, thank you. I appreciate it.
Is there an option to buy this game or it's just free?
It's just free, and you just... Yeah. Like, there's stuff you can buy, but there's so much stuff that you can play before you ever even have to think. Like, I've not thought about spending money, even though I could, because it's good. But there's so much stuff.
I think maybe they're being a bit too generous.
Maybe.
You know? Like, they should be squeezing us harder.
Yeah. They've, like, this is, the game came out in, I think, 2013 or 14 as a web application.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty big user base, so I assume people are buying stuff. And I know that they released this sci-fi campaign with new art and new strange scenarios for the Steam release. And I think a lot of old players are very excited about this new content, and they've bought into that. But if you're a new player, like I am, I'll get to the sci-fi thing eventually, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So that is Card Hunter. Do you have any more closing thoughts, Lee? Or
No, it's a well-constructed game that is free and that it's generously put together. And if you are into turn-based tactics games, because you're a big old nerd like I am, you should check this out.
Yeah, I'd also like to chime in that it's basically the child of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
That was my overwhelming impression.
Yeah.
So if you like both of those games and, you know, want to shave some time off your schedule, you can just play Card Hunter instead. Theoretically. This has been Zed Games. We'll catch you next week. Razor, Miss Candy Payne, Jody, and Lee signing out.
Bye.
Bye.